You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Getting hatchery Snake River sockeye salmon from Idaho to the Pacific Ocean and back again, it is no easy task. A new hatchery opened in 2013 to add another million fish every year going out of the Gem State. The first salmon from that $14 million hatchery started coming back to the Sawtooth Valley this year. As of last week, only 15 sockeye had come home. So we wondered, does that mean each fish ends up costing about $1 million? And why are so few of them coming home? Rocky Barker, special correspondent to the Idaho Statesman, is here live in studio with us to answer those questions. Hi, Rocky.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you. Okay, so let's just start here. Is it really $1 million per fish, or it's got to be more complicated than that?
It is more complicated than that. First, so far, only actually one of those now 17 fish came from that hatchery.
Really?
Yeah. And that's because up until 2017, it was this mystery. They couldn't figure out. They were putting all these fish in, but they weren't seeing them in the river going out as the smolts, the babies.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to figure out what was going on. Well, in 2017, they sat there and they watched as they threw 230,000 in, and they were dying right as they threw them in. And what they figured out was that the calcium carbonate in the water in the Springfield hatchery over there in eastern Idaho was incompatible with the it was hard versus soft water, and it was causing the fish to go into shock. So but this fish, this one fish that made it back, was actually part of that cohort and came from that bad conditions.
Because since then, they figured out the water issue, right? And so
exactly.
they fixed it.
So what they did is they now acclimate those fish in the Sawtooth hatchery. So they take them from the Springfield hatchery, put them in the Sawtooth hatchery, and they release them. And it's been working. They're seeing the fish all the way out. And so actually, this year would have been a little bit of a surprise. The point, we've been in really bad ocean conditions since 2014, and that's hurt all our salmon runs and the sockeye runs. So this year they were hoping they might get some of the fish that come back after 1 year, but next year is when they really expect to see an improvement and a lot more of those fish out of the new hatchery.
So next year is kind of that kind of make or break to see if this building this hatchery was a success potentially.
It could be. I think there's a lot of value judgments thrown in here, and I'm a journalist, so
right.
I try to, you know, step back a little bit. First, I think the main thing, we have to look at this sockeye program that we have. Only 17 fish came back this year, but 17 fish came back. Had we not done this captive breeding program that Fish and Game does using the Eagle Hatchery just here, if we hadn't done that, there wouldn't be any sockeye left. They'd have been gone years ago. You might remember good old Lonesome Larry.
Right.
He was a part of that. We took some of the DNA from he and the last of the wild sockeye. But they use Redfish Lake still, and they've got this whole mix of DNA that they do from the wild fish that spawn never leaves Redfish Lake. And then there's the fish, the natural fish that they have planted in there. And then there's fish that they raise year-round in the Eagle Hatchery. And they've got enough of those fish to keep the species alive.
So let's talk about the new hatchery itself. So where is it? And then who actually paid for this $14 million hatchery?
Well, the people who paid for this hatchery were the ratepayers of the Bonneville Power Administration. It was $14 million. It was paid for, and it's over in Springfield, which is over southwest of Blackfoot.
Okay.
And so they were. This was a program to try to expand on the successful captive breeding program, so that they basically are doing all of this. I've always said this is my controversial but I think accurate statement, is that they didn't build this hatchery to save the fish. they built this hatchery to save the four dams, because if they solely were trying to save the fish, that would help the fish more than this hatchery. All that said, the four Lower Snake dams have all kinds of issues around them, both economic, political, and cultural. So that was a lot more complicated than just building a hatchery and spending the money.
I'm talking with Rocky Barker. He's special correspondent to the Idaho States, but we're talking about the sockeye salmon season. So you mentioned kind of why we've seen so few fish coming back this year. You mentioned warmer ocean conditions. But let's go back to 2015, because we had issues on the rivers, right?
So, that's right.
So talk about that, because we're talking the Columbia, the snake, and the salmon. What, water temps too hot?
Yes. I mean, 2015 was a chance for us to see the future. And it's not a future that we'll see every year, but the scientists who watch this very closely tell me that 2050, we can expect years like 2015, where high temperatures in late June and July raise the temperature of the rivers and to a point that it is lethal for the salmon. And so for the sockeye, which are the main fish that are migrating at that time, they are the ones who are caught in these really hot rivers. But it won't happen every year. And so but it is something that we can expect a lot more, and it means it's going to be a lot harder for us to sustainably recover the sockeye salmon.
So even with a hatchery, even when you are breeding in captivity, you have to look at the water temperatures as well.
That's right.
And how all of that basically moves together.
Yeah, yeah. It's there is this big giant challenge for us of climate change out there that we're only beginning to see in so many different ways in our lives, in our wildlife, in our crops. And so I think that adds to the challenge. This hatchery, though, does give fish and game some more tools to help get us through that climate change problem. And this captive breeding program means when we have a year like 2015 and we lose all the fish, we still got enough fish to put in the hatchery to keep alive and to keep essentially the captive breeding program going, so that it acts essentially as a bridge for the, you know, the wild stocks. The wild stocks are always going to be more productive. This year, for instance, we've got, I think, 15 of the 17 fish, or at least 13 or 14 of the 17 fish, are naturally spawning fish from Redfish Lake. So those naturally spawning fish are infinitely fitter and more
they have to survive on their own, man.
That's right.
And I mean,
they
seriously.
Exactly. They produce like 10 times the number of baby salmon than that make it all the way back than the ones that are done in the hatchery.
So do fish and game expect to see more fish coming back this season, or are we pretty much at the end of this cycle?
We're pretty close to the end. Usually the end of September is the end of the run, but in other words, we're not going to see. I don't expect we're going to see this huge new number to come back. And so it's a continuation of the poor conditions that we've had. The ocean has begun to improve. And when I say the ocean's improved, it means that it's cooler. And it means it's these upswells that bring with them a whole from lower in the ocean, they're more food for the for the salmon. And then also the warmer water that comes from California and brings with it more predators isn't there. And there's these little baby copepods. They're very small, not microscopic, but just above microscopic beings that the salmon eat a lot of when they're small. They are bigger and stronger and fatter when those cooler conditions. And so we're starting to see a few more of those. And if we get that, it's going to help everybody.
So overall, how would you rate the recovery effort for the sockeye?
I would say that it's been an amazing success to the point that we've done it. I think when we went to the when we made the we are now have to make decisions. I'm not sure that we can come up with a system with all the dams in place. I don't see how we're going to be able to do it. But all that said, Dvorak Dam, for instance, in Idaho, I think is a critical dam that has to be there, just as I think we're certainly not going to take out the dams on the Columbia. So I think we as a region have to determine how, you know, do we want salmon, wild salmon in Idaho? And I don't think that the hatchery fish will sustain themselves. Mm. They need that wild stock, that productivity of those good, they need the strong genes of wild fish to keep sustaining them.
So as you said in the very beginning of this, it is a complicated process, even when it comes to how the recovery effort is going.
That's right.
I want to thank you for coming in today, Rocky, and talking about this. We've been talking with Rocky Barker. He is special correspondent to the Idaho Statesman. We've been talking about sockeye salmon, the recovery, how the season went so far this year. Rocky, always good to talk with you.
Good talking to you again.
Up next, we chat with the newest reporter in our Mountain West News Bureau. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.